deeper in the love of Jesus daily. Let me go higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to hold deeper, deeper yet I pray, oh, and higher, oh, every day, and I so blessed, oh, in thy precious holy word, oh, deeper, deeper. Blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect will. Oh, deeper, deeper yet I pray, oh, and higher and higher. Oh, every day and wiser, oh, in thy precious holy, oh, deeper, 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 though it costs our trials, deeper, let me go, rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful. Oh, deeper yet I pray, oh, and higher, oh, every day and wiser, blessed Lord, oh, in thy precious holy. Oh, deeper, deeper, higher, every day in Jesus, still all comfort by. Find me, conquer, and in His own image, perfect at last. Oh, deeper, by yet I pray, oh, oh, wiser every day, and wiser, pleasant, oh, in thy precious holy, oh, deeper yet I pray, deeper yet I pray, oh, and higher, oh, every day, and wiser, pleasant, oh, in thy precious holy word.
Amen. Amen. That's our desire tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to share a little testimony tonight. Amen. I really want to thank the Lord. More testimony. I want to say the thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. It's been a long time since being in Ireland. And it's been years that I've been trying to get a job every summer. I've been sending CVs all over the places and every summer, but never been able to get a job, and always prayed about it, but man, that has been the will of God, and we thank Him for it. But thanks be to God, I started working today. Amen. And amen. We thank the Lord for His dough. It's not in the field that I studied, but I believe that He's going to open doors for that. But I've started working in a warehouse now, and it was a good today. It was good, and I thank the Lord. It was a heavy one, though, but I thank the Lord for it, and thank you all for your prayers. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing the song, One of Them, One of Them. Amen.
Amen. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm, oh, I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, there are people almost everywhere was out of all of them. With the fire that filled our pentacles, which cleansed them. Oh, it is burning now within my heart of glory. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm. Oh, are you one of them? One of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Who told us people may not let it be, no boss of all living. They have all received your Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are turning now put far and wide as far as yet. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of. Oh, are you glad tonight? One of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm. Oh, are you glad tonight? One of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the apple of praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and powerful service came. Now what did it for them that they knew it do for? Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of. Are you one of them? One of them. Oh, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm. Oh, I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, come, come, my brother, sing this. Oh, what will cleanse your heart from sin? That will start the joy bells ringing and will keep down. Oh, it is burning now within my heart of glory to his name. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of. Oh, one of them, one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm. Oh, one of them, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of, oh, one of them, one of them, one of. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm, oh, I am one of them, one of them, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we're glad to say that we're one of them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing this song. Change the order. Let's sing this song. Touch your people once again. Amen.
We need power. True love for each other. We have had so many pigs and empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a state of fruitful life. Restore your church again. And touch your people once again. With your precious holy, oh, we pray. May your kingdom shine upon this earth. True and living, glorious day. Oh, not for temporal. Oh, but to restore
but to restore authority and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow in, blow in. Touch your people once again. Lord, you've seen your tired servant, wounded, broken soldier. Oh, how much we need your precious healing. Oh, Lord, we need the power of the cross. That's the only source for us. When we stand up facing final battle cry, restore your truth. Oh, touch your people once again with your precious holy, with your precious holy hand. May your kingdom shine upon this earth with a glimmering, glorious shade. Oh, not for temporarity, but to restore authority and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow it. Oh, let it blow in. Oh, and touch your people once again. Oh, touch your people once again. Oh, the sun is out tonight with your precious holy, holy praise. May your might shine upon this earth through a living, glorious day. Not for temporarity, but to restore authority and power. May your kingdom rise and wind and blow it. Oh, blow. Oh, touch your people once again.
Amen. Let's sing that song, You Are Alpha and Omega. Amen. Let's sing it from our heart tonight. Amen.
Alpha and Omega. Oh, we worship you, oh Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh, you are Alpha, you are Alpha and Omega. Oh, we worship you, oh Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh Lord, we'll give you. We give you all that glory. We give you glory tonight. And pure, oh Lord, you are worthy me. Oh Lord, we'll give you all that glory. Oh, from our heart. Oh, you are worthy to be. Oh, one more time, you are Alpha, you are Oh, you are Alpha and Omega. Oh, let's sing from our heart. In your own, you are worthy. Oh, you are Alpha, you are Alpha and Omega. Oh, we worship you, Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh, Lord, we'll give you. Beautiful, whom you are worthy to be. Oh Lord, we'll give you
honor, because he's really worthy to be praised. Amen. Thank you, Brother George, Brother Max, Brother James, Brother Jose, and everybody for being at your post of duty. We praise the Lord for this evening again, to be here in his house and standing in. So we praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's always a challenge to stand in front of you people of God and speak to you from the Lord. It's never been something we get used to it, because we take you as his precious souls that he acquired at a very high price. Amen. So we take it seriously, and it's always good for me when I was sitting there and listening to someone else speaking. So let's just keep everything under God's control. We have one visitor, Sister Stabile, is it? From the UK, Sister Dube's friend. God bless you, our sister. Welcome to the house of the Lord. You are among your brethren, and feel comfortable and enjoy standing in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So we are going a bit further on what we started last Wednesday. What house will you build me? So let's open our Bibles, Acts chapter 7, 48 and 49. Acts 7, 48 and 49, I read in the name of the Lord. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, said the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you this evening, O Lord, for bringing us once again in your house, O Lord.
Amen.
Your people have sung, O Lord, preparing their hearts for the spiritual food, O Lord. And now we are calling upon you, O Lord, so that you can come down, O Lord, and help us, because human lips can't speak God's words, O Lord, faithfully, O Lord. It takes yourself to come, O Lord.
Amen.
It took that call on the lips of the prophet, O Lord, to make him prophesy, O Lord.
Amen.
We are the same making, O Lord, human beings. We ask that your angel come down, O Lord, and touch us, O Lord.
Amen.
Speak to your people as we commit this in the name of the, into your hands in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So we saw last time that the Lord God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. What man, human's hand have made is not suitable, is not fit to be, to house our living God. But we saw also that he dwelt in a tabernacle. So since if he dwelt in the tabernacle, it means in his eyes he was not seeing that tabernacle as a man's work. He was seeing it as his dwelling place. That's why he came down and dwelt in the tabernacle. And we saw also that the tabernacle was built according to a vision that God gave to a prophet. And the prophet went up on the mountain. He saw the vision. He came down and God raised some people, some men who could catch the vision, even though they didn't see the vision, but they caught the vision, and they could now, with the offerings that the people brought, the presents, the materials, and everything, and the people themselves giving themselves up to the Lord to be used, giving their skills, giving their time, giving their life. So there were that man, Bezalel, who was standing between the vision that the prophet received and the people and the materials to make everything, to build it up so that it could become to reflect what the prophet saw in the vision, so that God could come down and stay and dwell in that temple. Amen. And we saw also that it was a fruit of self-abandonment. It was a fruit of self-denial. Those people we saw, they were not rich. They were just slaves, a bunch of slaves coming out of Egypt. They didn't have a lot of riches, but they gave whatever they had as a sacrifice for the house of the Lord. It was a self-denial. It was all their saving. It was all their future. They died to themselves to give a place to the Lord. That's why the Lord could see that building, that edifice, as being his dwelling place, because it was a fruit of people accepting to die to themselves. Amen.
Amen.
So when those people came, that man Bezalel, he was standing there between them and the prophet. The prophet could teach Bezalel. You know, I saw in the vision that there was a mercy seat. It should have such and such shape. The man didn't see it before, but after listening to the prophet, he could go back and, inspired by the word, inspired by God, he could invent now. He could create something that would reflect exactly what the prophet saw. So we saw that God in this age, not only he raised a prophet, but he raised also some people, some men that could now take the prophet's vision and make it live, make it, give it a sense to the people so that it could participate in the building of the house of the Lord. As the prophet says in an exposition of the seven church ages, the age of Thyatira, he says, that is history. Now, God kept raising up not only the messengers to each age, but he raised up some wonderful helpers for those messengers. He gave every age some wonderful men of God, and they did everything they could to bring the church back to God. Amen. It's not only that God raised the messenger. God raised the messenger, but God gives the messenger some helpers, some auxiliaries that would come now, feed from the vision, and God gives them now some abilities, not only to hear from the prophet, but to make it take a certain sense to the people. Amen. So that man Bezalel, he was there,
He could invent. He was an engineer. He was a builder. He was, so those shapeless materials that people brought, those have this shape. Those one have that shape. There was metals. There were wood. There were, so there were even some materials that were incompatible to live together. But it was up to that man, Bezaliel, after feeding from the vision, to make those incompatible characters to fit in together to make the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. It was up to those men to come and take whatever the people brought, because it was not up to them to say, don't bring this, don't bring. The Lord said, bring your present. Bring your everything. People brought them. No matter how dirty it was, if it was gold, if it was silver, if how, no matter what shape, what size, what, how dirty it was up to that man, feeding from the prophet, to make of that shapeless thing, that dirty thing, is something of value in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
So it could take two people coming from the east and the west, not speaking the same language, not coming from the same country, incompatible in characters, but it's the job of the man of God to make them important pieces in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So when we come to church now, it's as if we are giving ourselves. We come the way we are. It's the job now of the ministers. That's why it's not you as a believer. What you have to do is just to surrender yourself as you are.
Amen.
That's why the Lord is saying, come to me, you who are heavy laden.
That's right.
Come the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
He has given now the abilities to those men to take you as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about the way you look. Because that you know, the mistake most of people do. Let's go to church. They preach you the message. Say, you know, I'm a drunkard. I can't go to church. I'm so filthy. I'm not worthy to go into the house of the Lord. No, the Lord is calling you to come the way you are. He has given those people the ability. He has given those people the skills to take you the way you are, shape you in a certain way, wash you. It will take some time, fire. It will take some time, swords. It will take some time, water, to wash you.
Amen.
So that man has something in his mind. He has the vision that, according to the vision of the prophet, I have to take this girl, this woman, this man, and her place in the body is to be a mercy seat. Her place in the body is to be the candlestick. Amen. Her place in the body is to be the curtain that will split, that will section the temple. So the way he's shaping you is different from the way he's shaping the other brother.
Amen.
The way he will shape such sister, because she is a gold, she has to go through fire.
That's right.
You will be just a simple piece of curtain. So you just need some sewing. You just need some washing and sewing. But the other, who is a gold, who is supposed to be the ark of the Lord, amen, he has to go through fire. He has to go through beating. He has to go. That's why you will compare yourself. But some people, they are always happy in the Lord. Me, since I believed, I've gone trial after trial. The Lord doesn't like me. Amen. No, it depends on the position he wants you to keep in the place. Amen. In the house, if you will be the ark, you expect some fire. Amen. Expect some very hard thing you have to go through, because you'll be exposed, because you will house the law of the Lord. Amen. So we need to keep that in mind. It was up to that man now to take all these things. Some, I know I'm not a constructor, but I know in the construction buildings there are some materials, you know, from their making, they are incompatible. They can't be stored together.
Right.
If they are stored together, they can make fire. Because their chemical making is incompatible. But they are called to become all part of the edifice.
Amen.
Even though from where they came, they couldn't go along. But the man of God, the architect, the engineer, will keep them that way, that one that way. I won't make you to mix, but at some stage, you will be the floor, you will be the roof, but you will be part of the same body. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that was the job of that man. He did the job. Very good job. God inspired him and he taught some other people. They became engineers, ministers as well. And they were building the house of the Lord. So it was not all. Because the house had to be built according to what Moses saw. So they were there. Moses was there as a watcher. You come with a revelation. It has to go through what Moses said first. You invent this. Thank you, Mr. Engineer. But Moses will pass through his filter. He say, is it according to what I saw? Yes, it is. Go ahead.
Amen.
The measurement of the temple, everything had to go through a certain filter. And when Moses was happy, he could say, go ahead. They built. Everything was fine. Everything was okay. The house was finished. But it was not the dwelling place of the Lord yet. Despite everything, the self-denial, despite whatever the people did, the house was built. But God didn't come down to dwell in the house yet. There were still some few steps to go for that edifice to become the house of the Lord. So we see in Exodus 40. In Exodus 40, it's a long reading. I won't read everything. But the prophet says, the Bible says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shall you set up the tabernacle of the tent of congregation. And thou shalt put therein the ark of testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring the candlesticks, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar. If you read through, you'll see now God is giving him details, prescriptions about the way the order should be in the house. Even though they've built everything accordingly, but it had to be placed in a certain order in the temple. God didn't come yet to dwell because he wanted to see things set up in a certain way. They shouldn't put this before they put that. If you read, he starts by telling them you should bring the ark first. When they bring the ark, they should put a veil. And then they should bring this candlestick. And then they should bring this. So it was a certain chronology in the way things has to be set up. And in the same chapter, you'll see that Moses, after God said all these things, the Bibles go now citing, quoting everything that Moses did. And if you compare to what God said, it was exactly the same thing. It's a kind of repetition of what God said. Moses did this. Moses, if you go from chapter 16, thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his socket and set up the board thereof, chapter 19, and he spread abroad the tent, chapter 21, and he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering and covered the ark, chapter 22, and he put the table in the tent of congregation. Chapter 23, and he set the bread. You'll see everything the way God told him to do it. He was doing it according. Such thing couldn't come before such thing. this step had to come first. God bless you, Sister Vierka. Welcome. This thing had to come after this thing. It had to follow that order. So, at a certain stage, God says, "And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water." Amen. Chapter 12. "And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle, and wash them with water." If we go further, when Moses now fulfilled that scripture, he says, "And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. And when they went into the tent of congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the upper the courts, and the tabernacle, and set up the hanging, and so Moses finished the work." So we see that Moses has to bring all the utensils, bring all the things, but before, after everything was set up, Moses had to wash Aaron. Not only wash him, if you read through the chapter, you'll see, and Moses had to clothe, to dress Aaron. Amen. Aaron had to be dressed in a certain way. God could have asked Aaron, because he was a big man, a grown-up, he could wash himself, he knew how to wash himself. But he told Moses, "Moses, you wash him. Not only wash him, but dress him as well." Amen. So, when all these things were done according to what God wanted to be done, then you see in chapter 40, verse 33, the Bible says, "So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Amen. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Hallelujah. It's only after all these requirements were fulfilled that now the Lord could see they've died to themselves. They've given up themselves. They've followed the vision that I gave to the prophet. The people have surrendered themselves to the leadership of the minister. They've built everything according to what I've said. And the proper order is put in the house. And the people have sanctified themselves. Amen. Aaron's old clothes were removed. And he had dressed in new clothes. He was now worthy now to minister to the Lord. Then the cloud of the Lord came down and filled the temple. And that edifice became now the dwelling place of the Lord. Amen. It's only after fulfilling those conditions that it could be the house of the Lord now. Amen. We need to keep that in mind very well, because it's very important. There were many buildings, there were many houses built that time, but God didn't choose to live in those houses. He only chose that particular tabernacle because he could reflect, as we said last time, he could feel at home, even though he's a perfect will, is to live in human soul, in man's soul, but at least it was something, a substitute of his perfect home, and he could feel at home. So that was the house of the Lord at one stage. But if we go back before this, God had revealed his house once before Moses built the tabernacle. It was with Jacob. If we go back in Genesis 28, you'll see that Jacob, one day, he was coming from just cheating his brother. He had cheated his brother, stole his birthright. And he was running away, actually, escaping from his brother's wrath. So, his father told him, If you read the chapter at the beginning, chapter 28, I think, his father, Genesis 28, yeah, from 10 to 22, his father told him, gave him a commission, said, go and find a bride. He was on his way going to meet, to find a bride, according to the commission his father gave him. On his way, he got somewhere where he had to stay overnight. He had to sleep. So the Bible says he took a stone, a rock, and used it as a pillow and slept. In the middle of the night, he had a vision. He saw angels, a ladder, and the angels coming up and down, mounting and descending. And at the bottom, at the very end of the ladder, he saw the Lord. Can you read it? And behold, verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angel of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I'm the Lord of Abraham, and so on. And Jacob, verse 16, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Amen. And I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Amen. Amen. Jacob, he was in a commission to go and find a bride. Amen. But remember, Jacob was not changed again. He was still that guy that just cheated his brother. He was still that unregenerated boy. He was not that boy that had changed yet. But he was in a mission to go and meet the bride. But the Lord knew that this man is bearing a seed, because I promised that the Messiah, the seed of the woman, would come through this lineage. Amen. Yeah. So this man now is in a mission to go and fulfill the coming of the seed of the woman. He's going to meet a bride, and from that bride, the lineage of the Messiah would come up. But this man is not changed yet. I don't want this man to go and meet the bride in this condition. Amen. Because he's bringing a message to the bride. So if I let him go as a Jacob, because he has just cheated his brother, if I let him go the way he is, the seed may be corrupted. I need to do something so that the message he will bring to the bride will not be something of his old nature, but it will be something coming from the throne. Amen. Amen. So on his way to meeting the bride, the Lord met him. Amen. The Lord revealed to him the house of the Lord. He saw the throne, even though he was not changed yet, but the message he was bringing to the bride wouldn't be something coming from himself. God wanted him to have a different experience, so that when he meets the bride, it would be something not coming from the old Jacob, but it will be something coming from the Lord. God wanted to protect the lineage. It was a crucial moment. Him meeting Rachel, it was a crucial moment, because the seed of the woman was following that lineage. It came from Abraham into Isaac, and then it was in Jacob. But Jacob was in a state that could corrupt the seed. Amen. God made sure that before he meets the bride, God revealed himself to him. So he saw a vision. He saw the throne of God. And he saw angels coming up and down, mounting and descending. It told him, this is the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Keep it somewhere in your mind. Amen. Because when Jacob saw the angels of the Lord coming up and down, he said, this is the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It will help us at some stage. So Jacob, The Lord, that place was the house of the Lord because Jacob was in a mission of obedience. He was just obeying. He receives instructions from his father to go and find a bride. He was in the way of fulfilling his mission, and he lied upon a stone, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And God showed him that as long as the basement, the edifice is built on the right revelation, on the right foundation, that's where I put my name. That is my house. And Jacob could say, this is the house of the Lord. I've seen the house of God. Amen. At some stage also, Elijah the prophet, he built also some building. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
It's very important. We are going somewhere. Elijah the prophet built the time of him offering a sacrifice. He came, and the Bible says he rebuilt the altar of the Lord according to the 12 tribes and everything. He did whatever he did. And when the Lord saw that everything was okay, God came down. God came down to confirm that was his place of worship. That was the house of the Lord, because the Lord himself came down. Amen. So, for somewhere, for something, for some place to be the house of the Lord, where the Lord will reside, there are some requirements that need to be met. And those requirements that need to be met for the Lord to come down and confirm and vindicate that place. Amen. Now, in our age, because all this is history. Amen. Because our final destination is to find where is the house of the Lord today. And we are supposed to be the dwelling place of the Lord. Amen. We are supposed to be that dwelling place of the Lord. So we need to see, because it's good to speak about history, because it's good to say God did that, Moses built, but it's just history. But let's bring it to today. What does it mean? Amen. The prophet this day, he received a mission. And that mission was also to build God a tabernacle. Amen. He had to build God his dwelling place. Like Jacob, he was in a mission to go and find a bride. Amen. So, the prophet, at the very beginning of his ministry, God gave him a vision. God gave him a vision, as I think I've spoken about it once here in Sunday school, about that morning when he was about to lay the foundation of his tabernacle. We're going to read it in the present stage of my ministry. The prophet says, it's been about 32 years ago that when the Lord Jesus, within 150 yards of where I'm present standing now, here in Jeffersonville, the morning when I laid the cornerstone of this tabernacle, and I've been lying in bed for some time with my heart full of joy, thinking of this great time that the Lord God was going to give me a tabernacle to preach in. Amen. Like Moses, the prophet was about to build a physical tabernacle because he was happy as a young minister. He was happy that now today God is going to give me my own tabernacle where I would preach the gospel. Then a voice spoke to me and took me up. And I noticed this tabernacle in just about the state it is right now. But there were so many people till they were just packed all in the tabernacle. And I was happy standing behind the pulpit and saying, God, how good you are to give me a tabernacle. Amen. And he taken me up in spirit again and set me. No. And at that time, the angel of the Lord spake unto me and says, but this is not your tabernacle. And I said, then Lord, where is my tabernacle? Amen. So the prophet is about to build his tabernacle. He was happy, rejoicing, but God brings him into a vision. He says, you are happy that you are going to build the tabernacle, but this is not your tabernacle. And the prophet asked him, then Lord, where is my tabernacle? And he taken me up in the spirit again and set me down in a grove. And way down the grove was just rows of trees setting just level, about 20 feet tall or 30. And they looked like fruit trees. And then I noticed to my right hand and to my left hand there was an empty bucket on either side. And I said, what about these? And he said, you are to plant in them. Amen. So I pulled a limb from the tree to my right and placed it in the bucket of the right side, and the limb from the left and put in the bucket on the left side. Quickly they growed all the way into skies. Amen. And just then I held my hand. And just then I held up my hand and I was shouting, glory to the Lord. And all of a sudden, that pillar of fire came down over the top of those trees. Amen. So the prophet is just at the beginning of his ministry, but God shows him now that your ministry is not to build a physical tabernacle. I will show you now your tabernacle. He brought him and he showed him those rows of trees. On the left and on the right, there was some empty buckets. And he planted in those buckets. And the edifice started from scratch, growing up until it reached heaven. Amen. But the Lord didn't come down yet. He planted, he did everything, but the Lord didn't come down yet. But he said at some stage, the pillar of fire came down and covered the edifice. Amen. So God's showing him that your job, your ministry, is to go now and build a tabernacle. And if it is built according to what I have shown you, at the end of the edifice, the pillar of fire will come and crown the job. Amen. Amen. And he had to start from empty buckets. Amen. He planted in those empty buckets. Those people who didn't come with their foreknowledge. Amen. The people who didn't come with their luggages that they carried from the world, those people who didn't come from the knowledge from the Jehovah Witnesses, but the people who came and surrendered themselves to the Lord. Amen. So the prophet could now come with a new message, with a new ministry, and plant in these buckets. Amen. And from those buckets, since they were empty, why will they have to be empty? Because if they are full already, you remember the parable of the seeds. The good seed, even sowed, even if it's good, but when it's sowed somewhere, when there's, thorns. Amen. When there's thorns, where there's the conditions are good for it to grow, it will just choke it and die. So that's why the prophet had to come and preach the new birth. Amen. Amen. Because you have to empty yourself. Amen. The message didn't come to, is not a reformation, as the prophet says. The message is not a reformation. A reformation means something that exists already. We are just going to arrange, correct a few things and carry on. A message is not a continuation. The message is a corner. Amen. Right. We are going that way. We make a complete corner, a complete U-turn. And from scratch, the prophet wants you and me. You gave yourself up to the Lord. You came to be fashioned. You came to be molded. But abandon yourself to the Lord. Let the message fashion you. Amen. Don't fashion the message. Because we have people now who want the message a la carte. You know when you go to a restaurant, a la carte, you can make up your own recipe. You know, even though the restaurant can cook this, can cook that, you have all the potentiality of the restaurant, but they bring you a card. You say, no, I want this and this And that's some potatoes, some whiskey, some wine. That's it. The rest is not for me. We have not the message a la carte. The message is to be eaten as it is. Amen. If it's too big for you, you grow up to fit into the message. If it's too small for you, you slim down. Amen. We see people running every day to slim down. You slim down. Amen. And become to the size of the message. We don't want to fashion it to fit you. The Lord don't want you. You know, Elijah and Elisha, I don't think they were the same size. Elisha may have been bigger than Elijah, but he took that robe. Elijah said, you take the robe. If it doesn't fit you, if you are too big, slim down to fit into the robe. Amen. If you are too small, eat a lot. Amen. We have to accommodate yourself to the message. Don't oblige God to become like you. Amen.
Amen.
Very important.
Amen.
You know, I love Brother Maxwell because when he preaches, you know, those things there, he doesn't touch it. It's very good. You know, I'll go every Friday, I'll go to church because Brother Maxwell preaching. Because, you know, those my makeups, he doesn't touch it. No. We will preach the message. Amen.
Amen.
If you are not happy, you will go.
Amen.
But we know that you are a seed of God. Where you will go, God will hit you. And we will pray. God hit him.
Amen.
Amen. God will hit you.
Hallelujah.
We don't want it to be very, you know, very bad. Just some headaches maybe. But if you are too stubborn, I don't know, a cancer. You know, we don't curse you. Amen. But God is sovereign. Amen. If you want to save your soul, he can give you a cancer.
Amen.
Hit the body, but save your soul. Amen.
Amen.
So, don't expect me to be diplomatic.
Amen.
When I'm not here, when we are out there,
amen,
I'm your brother.
Amen.
You know, we can speak, we can talk, we can... But when we come here, we don't target anyone. It's the word of God.
Amen.
And just be spiritual enough to understand.
Amen.
Last Sunday, I was very shocked to see Brother Andrew speaking about things. I said, oh, that brother will think I said something to Brother Andrew.
Amen.
I said, oh, I'm dead here. I'm dead. Because every single thing was some of the things, some of the issues we spoke with that brother. They say, yeah, this Brother Eli, you know, when you tell him something, expect the next day it will be on the pulpit. But I believe that brother is spiritual enough to understand that it's the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Because we say, let your kingdom come. And the kingdom, when it comes, we refuse to take the kingdom. We want the kingdom to be our kingdom. No, it's his kingdom.
Amen.
We live in Ireland. We have to walk according to the law of the land.
Amen.
If it's the kingdom of God, there's a constitution in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's why the message calls us to an emptying. Amen.
Amen.
Can we say that in English? Eh? Okay. You have to empty yourself, to give up, to surrender.
Amen.
So that you will be, you know, there is a, in the those Catholic order of priests, the Jesuits, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Jesuits, yeah. In their training, they ask them to become like dead bodies. You know, you have no will. It's like a dead body. You put it like this, you go. You throw it like this. As a human, a living man, when they throw you, you'll put up your hand so that you can protect yourself. A dead body put like this, it goes. And that's the way they train them. You have to become like a dead body. Obedient like a dead body, like a corpse. When they put you like that, you go. When they put the hand there, you go. And you have no will of yourself. That's the way they train them, in a bad way, of course. In a way to kill, in a way to become spies. But the word of God wants you to die to yourself.
Hallelujah.
It's a biblical principle that they are just using in a bad way, for a bad purpose. But the word is calling you for a complete separation, a complete death to yourself, so that you can be molded, you can be fashioned to become to what God wants you to become. Amen. The prophet started now the job of building that edifice, of building, you know, seeking for the bride, because he had a commission to go and build the tabernacle, a commission and of going and preparing a bride to the Lord. So the mission was to restore the teachings first of the apostle. That was the mission of Malachi 4. Bring back the children to the fathers. So he had to start from the church ages, restoring the baptism, restoring the Holy Communion, preaching about this. He taught all the doctrines, and the message went. The people believed. So God raised some auxiliaries in this time, like the brother Nevels and the other brethren, brother Peregrine, and all the brethren that time. And the message is still going today. Yeah. All the ministers, God restored. God showed that this is the way. The message, the edifice was being built. But as long as God didn't come down to confirm that this is his dwelling place, the job is not finished yet. Because we will make sure that this job is, you have made, done a good job, you have finished the work of God, until we see God himself coming down and confirming the job. Amen. Amen. Confirming that the job has been done according to his requirement. He did it with Moses. He did it with Solomon. He did it with Elijah. So how will you know that what Brother Branham did, God did confirm it? The tabernacle was built according to what God said. Amen. So in the time of Moses, God came down and confirmed. Now, when Brother Branham saw the vision, we just read about it, about building the tabernacle, God showed him that the pillar of fire will end up by coming to confirm. God himself, as he came down in Moses' temple, he will come down and confirm that the edifice has been built according to God's vision.
Amen.
Did that happen? So we are going to see now. We are looking for the house of the Lord. Amen. Where is his dwelling place? What house will you build me? Did really God confirm today that this is my house? This is my dwelling place. Did he come down to dwell in that building that has been built? Amen. So we are going to see now. Brother Branham did the job. And you are just praying in that same message. Present stage of my ministry. 121, he said, "Well, all men has forsaken me," because he was preaching. If you read that message, you'll see he was just kind of complaining. Not really complaining, but showing his, you know, disappointment. How he has preached the message, he has showed people how to follow the way of the Lord. But the more he was bringing back to these principles, the more people were forsaking him. "All men has forsaken me, but there's one thing. He stood by me. I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision that happened down there on the river. I've stayed true to him. He has been true to me. I'm trusting in him. Someday, I don't know when, for a crowning of my ministry." Amen. He was now expecting a crowning of his ministry. Because all the job he has done, God sent him to with a mission. But that mission had to be proved. Did he succeed or was it a failure? So he was expecting now the crowning of his ministry. "I've stayed just as true as I could be. I don't know what it will be. I don't know when it will be." This is in 1962. "And just when he is ready, I'm done up here. I hope he will crown my ministry of this." of letting me take the clothes of the word and dress his bride in the clothes of the word and of his righteousness. Amen. So that was the expectation of the prophet. We see that when Moses built the temple, before God could come down and dwell in the temple, Moses had to dress Aaron. Moses has first to wash Aaron, clean him, sanctify him, and then take off his old clothes and dress him and his children. So before the fulfillment of the work in this last age, the prophet, after doing everything, cleaning the bride, preaching the message, preaching sanctification, is expecting now to clothe the bride. Amen. That will be the crowning of my ministry. Let me dress your bride. Letting me take the clothes of the word and dress his bride in the word, clothes of the word and of his righteousness. So that will be the crowning of the prophet's ministry. That will be the proof that the edifice has been built according to what God has said, according to the prescriptions of God. Now, was this, because we are believing the message, was this fulfilled? Did God confirm that the job was okay? The prophet says, after this time, this was September 1962. I think around December 1962, the prophet preached, "Sir, is this the sign of the end?" In that message, there were six visions, six dreams, and himself had a vision of going to the west. There was a pull toward the west. He had to go to the west. And all the visions were showing him doing something at the west. And in the vision he got himself, he saw a constellation of angels coming. And a blast that he should go to the west. And he went to the west. In 1963, amen. In 1963, he was there up at the mountain. Which mountain? Sunset Mountain. Right. Amen. He was at Sunset Mountain. Now the prophet says, notice, there is witnesses of three sitting in here. That a week ago, a week ago, I was up way back into the mountains, nearly to Mexico, with two brethren that sitting here, picking cockleburr off my trouser leg. And the blast went off that almost looked like shook the mountain down. Now that's right. I never told my brethren, but they noticed a difference. And he said to me, "Now be ready. Go east." Amen. The prophet is expecting a crowning of his ministry. Amen. And something is about to take place here. Amen. And he said, this is in the seventh seal. He said, "Now tonight for a sign to you, he isn't going to do it." He was talking to a brother. "You must consecrate yourself, and this is the time for the visitation of these angels." And I felt beside myself, you remember, and I was in the west. The angels was coming from the east. And as they come by, I was picked up with them. Do you remember that? Amen. So it was the prophet was expecting now the seven seals to be revealed. He was expecting something to happen. He was expecting, God told him, go to the west. He went to the west. And he was with some brethren. They were doing something. God brought him to that. Things happened so that he could be on a particular place at a particular time. Amen. It had to be on the Sunset Mountain. Amen. At that time. And when he was there, there was a blast. Amen. And after the blast, a group of angels came and met the prophet. Amen. Yeah. Remember, Jacob, when he saw angels coming up and down, he saw, this is the house of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. The prophet, when he saw the angels coming up and down, I don't know how many angels Jacob saw. Maybe there may have been seven. Amen. But the prophet saw seven angels coming down from the heaven. They took him up and brought him up. Amen. Isn't it the house of the Lord? Amen. Isn't it the crowning of the ministry of the prophet? Amen. Because when Jacob saw angels coming up and down, he said, this is the house of the Lord. He said, the Lord is surely here. And he built an altar for the Lord. Now today, the angels have come down. The God have confirmed. Because the edifice has been built. God wanted now to show that the job had been done according to what I said. The edifice has been built according to my vision. Now I'm coming to confirm what I said to my prophet. To prove to you that this is my dwelling place. Because my bride is ready. She has been washed. She has been cleared. She has been cleansed. Amen. Now I give you that robe. Go and clothe my wife. Go and dress my wife. Amen. The prophet carry on saying, in the message, what is the attraction on the mountain? The prophet says, what happened up on Mount Sunset? Amen. And I don't know if you have noticed. When you go into Jacob, when he saw the angels and the Lord, in Genesis 28, verse 11, and he lighted up on a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. Amen. Amen. Jacob was on the sunset mountain. Amen. Amen. When he saw the angels coming up and down, it was on the sunset mountain. Amen. If you go that place in that region, in that area where Brother Branham was, there are many mountains because there are many peaks in that area. But God wanted him to be on that particular mountain. Amen. On the sunset mountain. Because God had shown it before with Jacob that the house of the Lord had to be revealed on the sunset mountain. Amen. And the angels came down on the sunset mountain.
Amen.
The prophet said, what happened up on Mount Sunset? God confirming his word. That's what all this noise is about. Notice, it's God fulfilling his promise word again. Amen. Of Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Amen.
Amen.
God fulfilling his word of Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And he says, and in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel message, the mystery of God should be finished. The hidden mystery of Revelation 10, 1 to 7. The last message to the last church age. Amen. So the crowning of the ministry of the prophet should be Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Amen. That was the confirmation that what you have preached all these years have been according to the pattern that I've shown you. Amen. That the house of the Lord is ready now for the Lord to come and dwell with his bride. Amen.
Amen.
Revelation 10, 1 to 7.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So, the prophet carry on saying, everything that in the same sermon, what is the attraction on the mountain? Everything that shall never die is constantly unrolling itself. From the very thing happening to the picture being Jesus standing looking at us and now exactly on Sunset Mountain. And at the sunset light, the evening light has come. God vindicating himself. What is it? It is a fact that God and Christ are one. Amen.
Amen.
Bringing us back to the cornerstone where Jacob was putting his head. Amen. Because the name of God Can the house of the Lord can be only where he puts his name. And his name is Jesus Christ. And Jacob got the revelation on his time, and he understood, he knew that to get the name of the Lord, to get the house of the Lord somewhere, you need to start with the name of the Lord. He put a stone as his, you know, pillar. Thank you, brother. So, he says, now the prophet says, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, that's exactly what happened on that mountain. He had to crown his ministry. And Revelation 10, 1 to 7, we know the prophet further on in some other messages, he showed us that it's a message. It's the seven thunders. It's the seven seal, the revelation of the seven seal. So it was those mysteries. It was those, you know, revelation that was the crowning. Because the bride was washed already. The prophet, by the message, the truth has been restored. Everything that the apostle, from the foundation of the church, he had been restored. The baptism, everything. But what was missing? The thing that was missing was the robe. Because the bride was cleansed already. She was washed already. But she needed now a wedding robe. And the wedding robe was to come only by the revelation of these hidden mysteries that hadn't been preached in the past ages. Amen. Because she is a bride, she had to reflect now the fullness of the word of God, even those that hadn't been taught to those initial ages. Amen. So Revelation 10 is very important point in the ministry of the prophet. Because it was the confirmation that the house, it was the confirmation that the message was true. It was the vindication that what you have done was according to the word. Now the prophets keep on saying, they are going to end. Revelation 10 is speaking always about Revelation 10. In the breach between the ages and the seventh seal, he said, the seventh sealed book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Amen. I read, if you are marking it down, let's turn to Revelation 10, just a moment. So you'll get an understanding before we get into it. Now, this is at the end time. For listen, I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. If you'll notice, that's Christ. Because he, in the Old Testament, was called the angel of the covenant. Amen. Now you see, I'm just not making that up. Is that true? It is, thus says the Lord. I read it to you out of the book. Amen. I'm reading out of the prophets. Amen. Amen. So it's not coming up from there. The sounding of the seventh angel's message, the mystery of God should be finished that's been declared by the holy prophets. Amen. That's the prophets who have wrote the word. At the sounding of the seventh church age, the last church age, all the loose ends that through these church ages have been probed at, will be wound up together. And the prophet is showing now all the loose hands, the things that have been lost during the ages, those truths about this, about that, it has been to be brought all together, the mystery revealed. Amen. When that is done now, the prophet said, and when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, down come the angel, the messenger, Christ, setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with the rainbow over his head. Amen. Now the prophet says, now remember, this seventh angel is on earth at the time of this coming. Amen. 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 So the prophet was on up on Sunset Mountain, and he says that was what happened on Sunset Mountain. It was Revelation 10, 1 to 7. It was the Lamb, after taking the book, after breaking the seals, he comes down, and the prophet says the seventh angel is on earth at the moment of this coming. Amen. So, now, we understand, brother, that God has confirmed that the house had been built according to what he has prescribed. God had come down himself to confirm that this is my dwelling place. So, you are privileged people because you have found God's dwelling place. Amen. You have found the house of the Lord. But it doesn't mean finding the house of the Lord. You may be dead in the house of the Lord. You have to do something. You are privileged because the Lord has opened your eyes to see his dwelling place. But it's up to you now to take whatever the Lord has done, whatever the Lord has revealed, because he wants you now to become his dwelling place. Amen. The message has been preached. Amen. The mysteries have been revealed. Amen. It's now up to you. The angel told to John, eat the book. Amen. Amen. You have to eat the book. Amen. Amen. It's not up to the book. It's not a dictator, this book. This book is, you know, lying, resting upon your free will. He wants you now to eat the book. And if you eat the book, the book will make you, will give you the perfect shape that will make you the dwelling place of the Lord. Amen. 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 So we are privileged people. Amen. God, today we can answer to that question. What house will you build me? That time they didn't have the answer. They didn't know what to tell to the Lord. But today, we are privileged people because we can see, we know his weakness. Amen. We know where he dwells. Amen. Right. We know where he sleeps. And he has given us all the tactics how to catch him. We know his weak points. We know he sleeps there. You know, when a woman wants to catch a man, she will study the man. She will try to understand, what does it like to eat? What kind of music does it listen to? What kind of dress code he likes? Where does he live? When she discovers, you remember Ruth and Boaz. Amen. Ruth had to watch and see where Boaz will sleep. Because when she knows the dwelling place of the Lord, it's easy now to go, amen, and have an intimacy with him. Amen. 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 So, we know his weakness. We know his home address. And we know what he likes. We know his taste. It has been revealed to us. Amen. So why are we waiting to catch him? If you miss him, amen. If you miss him in this age, put the blame on yourself. The blame is not to be put on the pulpit. Not on the song leaders. Not on the deacons. Because everything has been revealed. And the vindication has come that you are at the God's dwelling place. You are living. You have seen where he lives. Just get yourself dressed. The prophet has brought the robe. And get yourself washed. Get yourself dressed. And the Lord will receive you. Amen. We thank the Lord for this revelation. Because we are a privileged people to see in this age the fulfillment of this big, big promise of Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Because that's the vindication that what the prophet preached is true. Amen. The angels coming down, the house of the Lord revealing itself. Amen. And proving that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. Can you give us a song, please, brother?
The prophecy the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will bring the grand victory in the life divine. Despite as many trials, despite as many trials, and many battles against the enemy. Oh, by the Holy Spirit. Perfect life. Oh, there is not much time. Oh, to in despair. Oh, we can already hear the chariot. My beloved one coming to meet us. Oh, and I walk this path. Oh, in the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of. Divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me.
Yes, sister, as we have just sung, there is not much time remaining.
Hallelujah.
You have played church for a long time.
Amen.
Now it's not time to play church anymore.
Thank you.
It's time to be sincere now.
Amen.
My sister, it's time now to question yourself.
Amen.
You have been given everything. There will be no excuse for anyone who saw this message.
Hallelujah.
And fail to become the dwelling place of the Lord. There will be no excuse.
Amen.
You have played church for a long time. Now just be sincere into yourself.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Have you got oil into your lamp? Now just be sincere into yourself.
Amen.
Have you get rid of yourself? Have you got rid of all these things that you are carried from the world? From your country, from your tribe, from your customs.
Yeah.
It's time now that the world is fashioning a bride.
Hallelujah.
Just surrender yourself, my brother. Surrender yourself.
Amen.
And let the Lord take the leadership.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't lean on your own efforts. The Lord has made provision for everything.
Amen.
He has brought the meal, the 7-course meal. To minister to all your weaknesses.
Thank you, Lord.
There is still mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Surrender yourself now. Surrender yourself now to the Lord. And ask the Lord to come and help you. Amen. Oh, dear Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercy, O Lord. When we can see, O Lord, from where we were, unworthy people, O Lord, we can see these things that the saints of all the ages have wished to see, O Lord. But they just watched it, greet it from afar, O Lord. But we are privileged enough, O Lord, to see today the fulfillment, the achievement, O Lord, of the house of the Lord. We are these people. We have that responsibility today, oh Lord, to become the real, the final dwelling place of the Lord. Heavenly Father, help my sister. Help my brother. Help everyone here. Help this church, oh Lord. Help myself, oh Lord. Help the officers of this church, oh Lord. Help the children, oh Lord. Help our youth, oh Lord. We want to reflect you in this age, O Lord. We want you to come, O Lord, and dwell in us, O Lord, so that you can become the tabernacle of the Lord, O Lord. Let's all pray the Lord. Amen.
Sure.
standing. Holy Christ, yes, yes, all that. Oh, oh, surely around him, his throne comes down. Surely around him, oh, that door to heaven is.
Oh,
surely, surely around me, oh, his throne comes down. Surely around here, oh, that door to heaven is found, and we know we are standing.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord. Father, for your faithfulness to us, Lord. Father, in expressing your love to us. Father, in bringing down your anointed word. Lord, how we thank you for a word in season. How we thank you, Lord, for warming our hearts, Lord. Father God, to know that, Lord, surely you are around here. Father, we felt your presence. Lord, for us, Lord, what a blessing to know that we are in the place, Lord, where you have chosen to put your name. Father, we indeed are in that place. How we thank you for it, Lord. And we pray, oh God, that you'd grant us grace and mercies in our lives. As our brother has, Father, so faithfully made it clear, Lord. Father, Lord God, that, Lord, we take these things not for granted. That, Lord, as we realize that you are here and that you have brought us to this place. Father God, Lord, may it quicken us in our hearts. May it quicken us in our lives, Lord. Father, may we cast aside, Lord, any thought which is contrary, Lord.
Hallelujah.
But, oh God, grant us grace and mercy. Lord, old, young, man, woman, Father, every child. Lord, to take that book.
Yes.
Father God, to swallow it, oh Lord. Father, Lord God, not to seek, Lord, to change any part of it.
Yes.
Lest that part be taken out from our lives, oh God. But instead, oh Lord, grant us grace and mercies. Give us a willing heart, Lord, to die to ourselves, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Father God, if we die to ourselves and then you can make your abode in our soul.
Amen.
Father, every need, Lord, in our life will be met that way, Lord.
Yes.
So please grant us the grace and mercy. We are your children. You know, Lord God, the desire of our heart. You know, Father, even the hour and the day we live in. You know how Satan, he tries to deceive us, Lord. Father, he tries to confuse us, oh God. But Lord, be merciful as you have been.
Amen.
Lord, in continuing to bring your word. Because we know that your word, it breaks every fetter.
Yes.
We've seen it, oh Lord God. Satan tried to come up before you, Lord, but you overcame him by your word, Lord. So, Father, by that same word, Lord, we cling to the cross, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we'll overcome every situation and every circumstance in our life. Lord, be merciful to us, your children, that, Lord, you know the challenges we're facing in our lives.
Yes.
Father, at different stages we may be.
Yes.
But, Lord God, one thing which will give us overcoming power, Lord, is not to trust our own reasoning.
Yes.
Is not to trust, Lord God, Father, whatsoever abilities we may have. But Lord, it's to look to your word, Lord.
Amen.
Father, for Lord God, all that you desire of us, all that you expect of us, Lord, you've put, Lord God, in your revealed word for this day. So Lord, grant grace and mercies. Break away, Lord, the cobwebs, Lord. Break away the fetters, Lord, of confusion which Satan tries to bring amidst your children, Lord. Father, Lord God, that your spirit would freely move. Lord, grant us the grace and mercies. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your word tonight.
Amen.
Father, even when we leave here, Lord, we are fortified, Lord. We are strengthened, Lord.
Yes.
realizing, Lord, that you abide in us, you dwell. We are your tabernacles, oh God. Your word tabernacles in us. So, Lord God, we'll conduct ourselves as such, Lord. Father God, Lord, we'll meet every challenge, Lord God, knowing without fear that, Lord, you are with us and you are in us, oh Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your servant, Lord, who are so, Lord God, yielded and surrendered to you, that you are able to use him in the way that you did, Lord. Father, continue to bless him, Lord. Continue to bless his family. Lord, give him grace, Lord, to continue in the way that he has done. Lord, to set himself aside, to, Lord God, just die to himself so that you can use him, Lord, to bless us, your children. Father, Lord, and we, whatsoever part we play in your house, Lord, we are thankful for that. Even as David said, that he'd rather be a doormat, Lord, in your house, Lord, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. We thank you, Lord, for everything which was said and done, Lord, in this night. We thank you for everyone, Lord, who made the effort to come here. And we thank you most of all for visiting us, for making our efforts not in vain. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for even blessing our brother with a job. May he be a blessing there, Lord God. Father, may you continue to guide and to lead him as you would, Lord. Meet the needs of your children, Lord. Father, those that couldn't make it tonight, please be with them wherever they are. They're your children, they're your people, Lord. Watch over them is our prayer. Father God, as you are with us, Lord, in giving us safe travel here, please be with us and give us safe travel as we journey home. That when we gather once again, Lord, we'll bring thanksgiving and praise and honor unto your holy name. Granted, Lord, is our prayer as we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you. I'd like to thank Savior as well and Michael.
I forgot to name Savior when I first came. God bless you for being there and playing your role in the house of the Lord. Amen. Give us a song as we dismiss.
That's where I belong, seeking your faith, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, bring your presence, oh God, or I want to go. I want to go where the rivers cannot river, where my feet are strong. Or I want to hide. I want to hide where the blazing fire cannot meet. Your presence, oh God, oh, in your presence, oh, that's where I am strong, in your presence, oh Lord, my God, in your presence, oh, that's where I can your faith touch your grave in the cleft of the rock? Bring your presence, oh God, or I want to hide. I want to hide where the flood of evil cannot reach me, where I'm covered by God. Oh, I want to be where the schemes of darkness cannot touch me, in your presence, oh God. Glory in your presence. Oh, that's where I am strong, in your presence. Oh, Lord, my God, in your presence. That's where I belong, seeking your faith, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, oh God. In your breath, oh, that's where I am. In your presence, oh, my God. In your breath, oh, that's where I am. Oh, seeking your peace, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, oh.